Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. This is presented by Clarkson Eye Care, and I want to tell you about this. Here's a scoop for you about Clarkson. Did you know Clarkson Eye Care has optical dispensaries in every office? Their trained opticians will help you find the right fit and style from a huge selection of frames, including sports, safety, and sunglasses. Visit ClarksonEyeCare.com to learn more. Schedule an appointment today. Check out Clarkson Eye Care for your family's eye care needs, too, including kids of all ages. It's ClarksonEyeCare.com to learn more. Schedule an appointment today. They have the latest eyewear, including hundreds of designer and budget-friendly styles. It's Clarkson Eye Care with offices all over town. ClarksonEyeCare.com. Schedule an appointment today. It's a Wednesday, and as we always do, we have the chance to visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. It was a drubbing yesterday for St. Louis. They got thumped in Game 3 of their series against the Milwaukee Brewers, and now it's a doubleheader. Brian of TheCardinalNation.com covering the Cardinals, whether it's at their alternate site, covering what's happening there, although it's a little bit tough, the minor leagues as a whole, or St. Louis Cardinals baseball at TheCardinalNation.com. Brian, as always, thanks for joining us on these Wednesdays. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Dan. You know, it's amazing. There's never seems to be anything to talk about when we get together.
Yeah. Even in the off season during a pandemic, we find things to talk about. It's just amazing. Baseball just keeps rolling 365 days a year. Yesterday was in a normal season. If you had a normal season and a lopsided game like that, you'd say, well, it's just, you know, one of those games and you try to get through it and you put it aside and away you go. But this is kind of a quote unquote pennant race. And you had two teams that were hot, and there were obviously Molina was hot. A lot of things happened. What were your takeaways from some of the things that you saw yesterday?
Well, one of the things that happened early was, you know, a couple solo home runs against Jack Flaherty. And, you know, the first thing I thought to my mind is, you know, Christian Yelich has been having a terrible season so far. And, you know, the fact that he's starting to wake up right now, you know, is one of the worst things that could possibly happen, because we've seen how he's dominated Cardinals pitching in the past. And, you know, the Cardinals and Brewers still have, what, seven games left head-to-head this year. So that was the first thing I thought of. Obviously, you know, Jack Flaherty didn't have his A game, left a lot of pitches in the middle of the plate and paid for it. That put pressure on the bullpen. And then, you know, in the fifth inning, the frustrations, you know, started to boil over, and, you know, things happened that you just have to hope that Yadier Molina's wrist injury is not going to be serious enough to knock him out. Now, they stayed in for two more innings, but, you know, it's difficult to tell given, you know, his toughness level and tolerance for pain. You know, you just have to hope that, you know, he won't have to go on the injured list, because if he does, you know, I think everybody appreciates the shepherding that he's done of the rotating group of pitchers that have come through there. And, you know, that not a slide against Matt Wieters or Andrew Kisner, but, you know, there would be a noticeable drop off if Yadier Molina can't play.
I didn't see him coming out. I knew he was frustrated with the previous at bat inning or two before with the strike zone and striking out, what was going on in the game, clearly upset with Braun and the bench. I just didn't see him coming out at that time. And remember, Wong was a scratch from the game. They had Thomas in the game. I mean, they were limited with bench players. So I just didn't see him coming out of the game. He knows the situation. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, you're on a great point, Dan, and that's something that I, you know, asked John Mozeliak about the other day, and that was that the Cardinals are only going with 12 position players right now. They need the extra pitchers, obviously, but what that means is you've only got three hitters on the bench. And, you know, all the talk last night about, you know, what position player might come in to pitch. As rough as the pitching situation is, they had fewer options, you know, among the position players remaining. So, you know, the roster size issue and the sheer number of innings that are having to be thrown, you know, look like it's starting to catch up with them.
I wonder what kind of corresponding moves you make for this doubleheader. Now, Chris Matt clearly is off limits. I thought he did a great job yesterday, kind of, you know, just got you through the very end of it. He was on fumes, so did a good job. And you know, that it'll show up in the box score. Yeah, he gave you your innings, and the casual fan will say, hey, okay, nice job. But inside that clubhouse, you win a lot of points. That's number one. And number two is, you know, looking at what's going on with the outfield situation, I got to wonder if Fernandez maybe comes up, or somebody from the alternate site. And number two, Lane Thomas had a drop again in right field. He's not producing at the plate, and I got to wonder if Dylan Carlson's going to come back up for the stretch run. I just wonder about those two things.
Well, certainly Fernandez is on the taxi squad. He's with the team, so you know, I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, he's a guy that certainly could come on, as you mentioned, for Crismat, who's going to be unavailable for, you know, a few days. We also have to remember that the starting pitcher, Johan Oviedo, at least projected starting pitcher in game two, has to come off the IL, and there has to be some kind of move made. Although he could be the 29th man, there has to be a 40-man roster move. In terms of, typically, you know, the team takes guys who are on the taxi squad and activates them. And Justin Williams is the outfielder who's on the taxi squad and in Milwaukee right now, not Dylan Carlson. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. The other thing you mentioned before, Colton Wong, Mike Schilt did not rule out after the game last night that Wong might have to go on the injured list. And if so, then, you know, Max Schrock is the guy who's with the team on the taxi squad, and he could be activated as well. So we could see, you know, a flurry of roster moves today, depending on the injury situation, as well as the, you know, need to get fresh pitching on the roster.
It's amazing. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com is always my guest on a Wednesday, and it seems like whenever the Cardinals need this season, they've hit a wall or there has to be a big start. It's Adam Wainwright that, for whatever reason, it's his time in the rotation that pops up. Well, here we go again. Number 50, he's up again, and the Cardinals need a big, big start from Adam today.
Isn't that the truth, Dan? I mean, you think the first game back from the, you know, virus, and everybody wondered what was going to happen. He came out and pitched a tremendous game. Then there was that four-game losing streak, and it looked at home, and it looked like the season was going down the drain. And Wainwright again made another gutsy performance, had another strong performance. You know, now after this 18-3 loss, you know, the team could easily float away, and, you know, this could be the end of it. But, you know, if Wainwright comes back in game one and pitches a good game and rests the bullpen, you know, you take your chances with Oviedo in game two. And, you know, if the Cardinals could pick off a couple wins here, you know, it would make a big difference because, you know, the Cubs have continued to win. They're now five games up, but the Brewers are only a half game behind the Cardinals, and the Reds are only another half game behind them. So, you know, the Cardinals could easily, with a bad day, end up in fourth place. And, you know, that's obviously not somewhere they want to be.
And they're thinking postseason play. If they get there, that means postseason bubble. So we heard about the postseason bubble in Major League Baseball. It had been talked about and talked about. Well, now we know it's going to happen for all the rounds. And, you know, hypothetically, the Cardinals could get off this road trip and some of the players go straight to a hotel room for the final five games of the regular season at home. They may have to play the final two. It looks like they're going to have to play the final two against Detroit the way things are going, which are tentatively scheduled, but that would be for seeding or for maybe just getting in the playoffs or whatever the case may be, but don't want to put the cart before the horse, but we'll get there if we need to get there. And then they go play whatever team they have to play in the playoffs. But the idea is a bubble system for baseball across the board. What do you think?
I think it's necessary. I think it's a smart move. And, you know, they've set it up in a way that the National League teams will play in Texas, where there's no home field advantage, and the American League teams will play in the Padres and Dodgers stadium. So, you know, they've done a good job there. I think, you know, there was some whining from some of the players, including Andrew Miller of the Cardinals, about the fact, well, we don't want to, you know, go into the bubble early, and we didn't have enough notice. And, well, you know, that's on the union that they didn't negotiate that with the owners, as far as I'm concerned. I think the plan that's in place makes a lot of sense. There's a lot at stake, and they want to make sure that the playoffs don't get shut down because of virus. Because, again, you know, you're going to have eight teams, you know, in a relatively close proximity. And so they want to make sure that, you know, if the playoffs get started, they're going to play. The other point is the players have already guaranteed $50 million at a minimum if the playoffs are able to be played through their end. And that's important because the way the current agreement is, the players' postseason play is based on percent of gate revenue. And other than maybe 20% capacity, 25% capacity they might have in Texas at best, you know, there was going to be no gate revenue. So the players are going to get paid in the postseason. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of an inconvenience, but, you know, just be quiet and play the games as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, you look at a typical regular season, you know, you're on the road for half a month anyway. Now you're asking for a full month away, and they're talking about being able to bring families in if they're quarantined. So there is a way to get with your families. So that is part of this too, correct?
Absolutely right. They've made accommodations, and again, they seem reasonable from the outside. But, you know, in this format, it's interesting. Rob Manfred's been quoted as saying that he believes that a majority of the owners are in support of this new expanded 16-team playoff format to go beyond 2020. Now, the reality is the current cooperative bargaining agreement runs through next season, and that agreement is based on the current playoff structure, the prior playoff structure. So there's going to have to be another, you know, set of negotiations between the players if this, you know, playoff structure works and they want to hold it next year. There are some people, though, who believe that by increasing the playoffs from 10 to 16, it will actually keep down player salaries at the high end because teams will be less motivated to, you know, go out and buy stars knowing that as long as you have a 500 record, chances are good you're going to play in October.
I can't imagine what this offseason is going to look like in terms of, as we've talked about, no Arizona Fall League, what development may look like, whether you're the St. Louis Cardinals, you're the Chicago Cubs, you're the San Diego Padres, you're the New York Yankees, whatever you do in the winter months and trying to develop your young players. Have you heard anything about that, Brian, of just trying to get your young players in and get some type of development and movement and progress with that?
This has just been a disaster for the minor leagues 2020, and certainly COVID, you know, caused it, was the first, you know, match it was struck. But I mean, you look, there have been no minor league seasons. You know, some organizations like the Cardinals tried to carve out a handful of spots in their alternate camp for young prospects. They got their first two draft picks into Springfield, but the alternate camps are being shut down now, effective this weekend, and they'll have a taxi squad in St. Louis, you know, through the playoffs. But you know, that development opportunity to play simulated games in Springfield's over. The Arizona Fall League was an annual event that allowed teams to send 7 or 8 of their AAA, AA type players and play 6 weeks of structured games. That's not going to happen this year. Instructional camp. A lot of organizations hold instructional camp for minor league players in the fall. MLB has said that they're allowing teams to do that. Typically, they're held in their spring training camps in Arizona or Florida. The Cardinals have said, you know, we're not going to do it at least through the end of our fiscal year in October, at the end of October. And by the time they get to that point, they're really going to be thinking to 2021. So, you know, my read on it is we're not going to see any Cardinals minor league action maybe until instructional camp in January, and that would be to start to set up the 2021 season.
I think it's going to be fascinating to know how this is going to play out maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and what has happened with the development of young players. I just think it's going to be fascinating what the reverberations of it, you know, did players stunt? Did players get better? What did we learn from this? Was it a good thing to have a shorter season? Is it better not to play as much in the winter? All those things, I think we're all going to learn.
There's just so many different variables going on, Dan. Yes, it will be interesting to watch, but it'll be hard to pin down, you know, what particular thing caused it. I mean, let's look at, you know, what's going to happen across the minor leagues next year. Two whole levels of play for young players are no longer going to exist. So now players are going to have to be ready to make the jump all the way from the Gulf Coast League to Class A ball, which this past year, you know, was Peoria in the Midwest League. And that's a huge step. They used to challenge their best prospects doing that in the past, and some guys could make it and some guys couldn't. So, you know, there's just all kinds of things that are, you know, going to be different. Obviously, there's going to be like 60 or 70 fewer players in the system, you know, competing for those jobs. So, you know, minor league baseball in 2021, assuming the virus is behind us, is going to be very, very different. There's going to be fewer players, fewer coaches. It's just, and, you know, we're starting to see those layoffs already across the game, not just with coaches, but trainers and scouts and even front office people. So, you know, unfortunately, it's a time of significant change, and, you know, a lot of folks are unfortunately, you know, going to lose their jobs.
Well, you're always working at thecardinalnation.com. So tell us what you have right now on the site day in and day out.
Well, we are having recaps of every game, including links to the box scores for folks who want to, you know, get into the detail of what happened the night before. Every set of transactions, and there have been transactions about every other day, and there'll certainly be more today as we discussed. I break down those transactions, talk about what they mean in terms of the current team and the backup situations and the rosters. And then also have commentary articles, including one in which I go into significant detail about the things I touched on briefly, the alternate camp, the Arizona Fall League, instructional camp, et cetera.
Brian, thanks. We appreciate it.
Talk to you next week, Dan.
Brian Walden, every Wednesday.